Also, tumpeng rojong means that the dreadlock is like rice. There's dreadlock that is like rice. Another is like sheep wool. Meanwhile, various colors also have meanings. Green means fertility for agriculture or trade. White means purity, that we live our life honestly without doing bad things. Those are the main symbols.
Bahwa kita hidup di dunia ini kan harus menjalankan yang apa adanya. Jalan yang lurus, tidak usah nikang-nikung, kayak gitu. Jadi itu termasuk simbol yang paling utama. Kalau
itu simbol paling.
Itu yang berwarna putih, gitu.
Another detail about dreadlocks cutting ritual is that it always held during dry season. But the temperatures in Dieng Hill fell to 4 degrees Celsius. The meeting between hot and cold mountain air created mist across the hill since dawn. But then, when the ritual begins, the mist will be replaced by warm sunlight. And the ritual begins. Preserving tradition when advanced technologies invading millennial generation is not easy. However, the awareness of Dieng people on the value of their tradition proves that tradition can coexist with modernization.
Primary and Secondary Education Minister Abdul Muti is planning to open vocational high schools that will offer a four-year learning program to prepare graduates to enter the job market and reduce the unemployment rate. He informed that in addition to the four-year vocational high school, the ministry is also preparing vocational high school that will enter into direct partnerships with business units to allow students to establish employment relationships even before graduation. Indonesia's Manpower Minister Yasir Lee has emphasized the importance of expanding job opportunities for migrant workers while ensuring their protection. He said the Ministry of Manpower and Ministry for Protection of Indonesia Migrant Workers have joined forces to achieve this goal. In a statement released in Jakarta on Monday, Yasir Lee noted that his ministry supports the P2MI ministry in optimizing overseas employment opportunities. And that was the news.
Thank you.
datang. Di ujung malam menuju pagi yang dingin, hanya ada sedikit bintang malam ini. Mungkin karena kau sedang cantik-cantiknya. Kali ini kadang juga ia takut, tatkala harus berpapasan di tengah pelariannya di malam hari.
from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
Samudra terbentang katulistiwa, di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Tetaplah satu cinta, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Kilauan samudra terbentang katulistiwa.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice listener, in this modern era, especially the modern day of technology, internet can be an access to many great things. But if you don't filter it quite right, it can cause problems. So, a term that is most popularly known for today is actually brain rot. So, brain rot is a colloquial term that refers to the negative cognitive, emotional, and behavioral effects resulting from purposeless, repetitive, and excessive consumption of trivial, unchallenging, and low-quality digital media content, primarily for short-form entertainment. And today we will discuss about that with a special host about today's topic of brain rot with psychologist Ibu Dr. Phil Zarina Akbar. How are you today?
Hello, Mas Ray.
Hello, how are you today, Ibu Zarina?
I'm doing well, thank you. And you?
I'm doing well as well. So, speaking of brain rot, many things I've seen many kids, especially like the early age until sometimes in high school, that like sings lots of random songs like Skibidi Toilet, or maybe like the most popularly known today, Tung 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 Sahur. Even though it came from Indonesia, it still considers brain rot. So can you explain to me, what is the main cause of this brain rot actually?
Okay. Thank you, Masai. Yeah, when we call or when we discuss about the brain rot, is very interesting phenomenon right now, because actually it's like, what is brain rot? Like you said, Masai, that brain rot is a state of cognitive decline or mental fatigue, and it influences our brain functioning. And what the causes of the brain rot actually? The brain rot is caused by the prolonged or exposure to overstimulations, especially in a digital content. So the main cause of the brain rot is the first is like overstimulations related to the digital content, and also like neurochemical imbalance in our brain. And also it's like to the behavior habits that favor ease and immediately over the effortful in our cognitive engagement, in our cognitive functioning. So that's such a many causes of the brain rot phenomenon.
Okay, so from what your explanation, many kids especially have brain rot, but is it like a specific target for kids, or maybe like adults can have brain rot as well if they consume too much unnecessary entertainment?
Who is the most vulnerable in brain rot? When we discuss about the people like the most vulnerable, actually it's not children and adolescents. Like some of the people also vulnerable to the brain rot, specific targeted in specific populations. The first is brain rot is very vulnerable. The first in children and adolescents. Yes, why in children and adolescents very vulnerable with the brain rot? Because as we know that the brain in children and adolescents is still undergoing critical development, as we know that particularly in specific part of the brain that we call the prefrontal cortex, Mas. So prefrontal cortex is part of our brain and it's related to the attention planning and also self-regulations. So it's very important in undergoing development in children and adolescents. So they are become the first targeted specific vulnerable. But in spite of children and adolescents, also like people, young adult with high exposure to the short form content also is vulnerable. Also like people with the heaven or heavily relate or engage over consumers with the in internet digital content, something like that is also like in very high risky. So yeah, many people targeted specific groups also vulnerable in here, I think. So the first is children and adolescents, but also young adults or people with the high consumers or heavy in digital consumer also is very risky. Yeah.
Yes. So from what your explanation above, is the brain rot actually happens because watching unnecessary consumption of entertainment, or is it can be used for like development of like special skills, or is it just a unnecessary thing to do? Like, can you explain that?
Brain rot, it happens when we overstimulate or when someone that overstimulate with the prolonged exposure in a digital content. So when they watch digital content or digital devices, something like that, in the long terms periods, in long terms, it also if impact or give the influence also to the brain rot conditions. Yeah.
Okay, but can it be cured, or if the person is like, can you can say that have a brain rot, consumes too many unnecessary entertainment, can it be cured, and how do you cure it?
For sure that the brain rot can be mitigated. Actually, it can be mitigated or it can be cured for sure. Why? Because brain rot is not a like permanent neurological condition, Mas. It reflects the maladaptive cognitive pattern, actually. So one of the principle in our brain that we call it neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity, it means that our brain have the function or have the ability that can rebuild again the healthier circuits with sustained effort in our brain. So it's not like in long-term neurological condition. It can be cured. It can be mitigated. And the next question is like, how the way, right? How the way to mitigate? How the way to cure these conditions? We can like many strategies that we can use to cure or to mitigate this. Like the first, like we call it digital detox. digital detox is like how we can reduce overstimulations in our brain so that we can like how to consume, we can manage the time to consume to relate with these kinds of digital or content. Or also like we can use like the we call it's like many activities like in offline activities, like how that we can try to improve our activities, our interaction, social interactions, direct with others people in offline condition, not online or with devices only. Like we can use we can implement like many activities such as like sports, art, or maybe we can talk, chit chat with our friends directly. It can also like try to our mitigations effort or cure to avoid this brain rot condition. So we can sum that it can be mitigated with the digital detox, with our offline activities, with our more mental health activities again, with directly not only with the device or not only with online activities, something like that, yeah.
Okay, so it is really interesting from your answer before, but I would like to know, since the brain rot actually happens from like watching the social media, or does it actually happen, like is it contagious to some people? Because if I might say, there's something called Tourette's, like they repeat the same thing, and then like if you startle them like I am, and then go like I am, is it like the same as brain rot? It will contagious to other people if they keep hearing the other person saying those content.
So brain rot is like if this condition is like prolonged exposure or when someone exposure these conditions in exposure in every day, for sure that it can be give like impact or influence their cognitive functioning, yeah, in long-term effect. So how to prevent or how to mitigate, again, like my answer before, that we need to stop it. We need to directly we can stop, or we can try to manage how to maintain the consumptions of the digital. So we can see that digital is not only in the negative side, right? We can also like in the positive side, or we can see in the both of side, and how to make it balanced. I think in our daily life, I think the most important things in here, how we can manage and how to make it balanced in our life. So we can also make it balanced, not only focus in our digital devices only, but how we can make it balanced also in our activities directly with people, within social interaction. I think that's the most important things also.
Okay, so speaking of the contagious side, there's games are really popular in today's era, especially for the young people, the kids. What type of games do you not recommend for the parents to give to their children, especially if they are giving them free use of tablets and phones?
Yeah, okay. So the interesting that what kind of what kind of online games, before I answer that question, Mas, how what kind of online games that can help develop children's brain? I think our parents, it's very necessary to know about these things first, right? What kind of the healthier online games that we can provide to our children, or we can recommend to our children? The first is like we can provide the games or online games that can stimulate the problem solving or the spatial reasoning to our children. Like we can give like some like online games related like game type like puzzle or logic games, something like that, or strategy stimulation game. How we can try to use stimulate to planning their system thinkings, and also we use these kinds of digital technology to support as a tools in our educational processing, as a tools in learning, like learning science, math, literacy, and how to we can use like our collaborative online games. So it stimulate the social skills, communications, the teamworks, and also the music or rhythm games stimulate the auditory. So in spite of those things, when we give or provide online games, it's only like as a games without any stimulations, I think it becomes a dangerous for our children. So I think it's very important to make like a digital literacy also for parents in here, how we can provide or we can give the the healthier online games for our children. So it's not only the way how to make our children become more calm or more relaxed without annoying their parents. Yeah. But the most important thing is what actually the goals or the aims of these games. I think people or parents in here needs like to concern about these things. So in spite of not only for just entertainment or just make it relaxing or calm, but the way how to like the goals of the games or the aim of the games is also become more focusing or concern to parents to give the online games for their children. I think like that must.
Okay, so like a repetitive game that is using cognitive and thinking is good, but a repetitive game that doesn't train the brain, it's just like make them calm, is bad. Like many games, especially in mobile stores or application services, have that type. So it's the parents' duty to filter it. You can say that.
Yes, indeed. And it's not only how to stimulate in our cognitive, in the cognitive aspect in our children, but also we do concern also in the other aspect, like the emotional aspect, the social aspect also. We can provide these kinds of online games or healthier online games for our children. So the most important things how that we can provide or we can give the online games for our children that can stimulate the many aspects of their development in these children. So they can like give a more optimum development for the children. Yeah.
Okay, so for the final question, I would like to ask you, what is your message or what do you want to say for the children, especially for the parents, if the children can understand, maybe for the children as well, on your message on how do you use social media properly so you don't get the brain rot?
All right, so maybe we can see like a closing statement in here is that social media, digital devices, and so on is only a tools. It's only a tools that can help us provide us many informations that we can use as a tools for learning. We can use it for get many information. Is very important or many access, we can access information in a very, very fast and also we can get many things, we can learn many things from these kinds of digital technology. But again, it's only a tool. So please be wisely use these kinds of digital content. Be wisely use this. And we do not forget that the most important things is not only the processing by online, but also in the offline activities. That's the most important things, online and offline. So how the way we can make it more balanced, I think, so we can get that more healthier our brain in our brain, so we can also healthier is not only in our brain but also in our emotions and our social life, so we can make it like more our life is more balanced and I think it's become more healthier and happier. I think that's it, Mas. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Bu Zarina, for your time and answers in this today's special interview. And avoid listener, as we've heard before, brain rot can be prevented by reducing gadget time for children and managing your social media correctly. So playing outside is the best way to develop children's brain and also the health, and even though it also apply to the adult as well. So reduce your contents, filter what's good and what's not, and go outside, touch some grass. And thank you so much for a listener. My name is Ray, and thank you so much for accompanying me in this special interview in VR Talk, and I'll see you in another episode. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia for more amazing interviews only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. sana. Ku sampaikan salam ini untuk mewakilkan rasa terima kasihku. Menyambut hariku, berlagu dengan gaya nadamu. Di mana aku di sini, rindu akan nawaimu. Semesta riang, tersenyum merekah. Lagumu bagai semangat di jiwa. Oh hatiku ini rindu, namun tak perlu mengharap. Di sana riang ayunan pesona jiwa dan berpesta. Ingat, ingat Retropolis, kau mesin waktu menembus masa lalu. Dan aku pun kan terkenan melihat gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu, oh bujangga. Dalam hati terbesi dalam air dan api, nadamu akan selalu menjadi warna hidupku. Mari bernyanyi bersama dalam sedih senang riang, adu mempesona jiwa dan berpesta. Ingat, ingat Retropolis, kau mesin waktu menembus masa lalu. Dan aku pun kan terkenang melihat gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu, oh pujangga.
Indonesia.
Oh iya.
salami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kagepe. To make kasalami, initially kagepe is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the kagepe, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with kagepe flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasalami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasalamis. Kasalami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasalami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasalami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasalami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa ku tuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau. Maka kesejukan yang kau rasa. Coba keluar di terik siang, ingatlah bintang yang kau sapa. Maka kehangatan yang kau rasa. Tahukah lagu yang kau suka? Tahukah bintang?
itu aku.
I come from the Philippines. It's a different type of invention found in Indonesia. And yeah, I heard it was originally claimed by Malaysia, but then it was found out that it was originally from Indonesia. And then I think it was announced by UNESCO just, I think, 2 years ago. It was recent.
That was the atmosphere in an angklung musical training followed by participants of the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship Program at Saung Angklung Ujo, West Java. Angklung is a bamboo musical instrument typical of West Java. And as was expressed by Valerie, a participant from the Philippines, the musical instrument is originated from Indonesia's cultural wisdoms, which has been declared by UNESCO as World Cultural Heritage. However, though born of local wisdom, no one can explain when angklung was first created. A lecturer at the Indonesian Karawitan Art College, Yon Sutiono, said,
"Kalau yang namanya musik bambu itu, kalau kita yang kenal sekarang ya seperti angklung. Kalau di Jawa Barat memang yang lebih ini itu yang jenisnya angklung ya, alatnya digetar ya, bukan tidak tergolong alat perkusi atau dipukul ya gitu. Nah, itulah barangkali memang ya kapan mulai dibuat ya saya sendiri enggak tahu itu kapan ya.
Karena the bamboo music that we know today is angklung. It is known in West Java. The instrument is played by shaking or striking it and not by beating or tapping it like percussion. When it was first made it, I do not know. What is clear is that we could find it when there were traditional rituals or ceremonies. For example, in Bogor, there was angklung gubrak, and in Banten, angklung seret. It was all media for traditional ceremonies, which in essence was for tasakuran or thanksgiving to the Lord, or even a repellent of bad spirits. Now, however, it is not to ward off bad spirits anymore, but to repel pests.
Formerly, angklung was used as part of ritual among the people. Then, as time went on, angklung became a folk entertainment. How could this happen? Daeng Octaviani Ujo, an angklung artist from Saung Angklung Ujo, has an explanation.
Awalnya nggak ada nadanya, Pak. Bukan selendro pelog. Awalnya itu angklung itu hanya musik ritmis. Jeringdung, 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 jeringdung. Itu dipergunakan untuk.
Initially there was no tone, no salendro nor pelok. Originally angklung was just rhythmic music. Jeng gonjreng gonjreng. It was used by Badui tribe as tribute to the goddess Dewi Sri during the harvest. Donjreng donjreng donjreng, so there was no tune. But then the outside Baduis created Dami Lalati Dachuns, who they used as a means to beg. Then Mr. Dayeng Sutikna was interested in it. He was a teacher, a music teacher, and a scout instructor. Mr. Dayeng tried to find out how could this musical instrument be taught in schools. When he saw the beggar, he thought this could be translated into Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si, Do. Then he tried to do it and offered to teach this in school. He was rejected. Why? Because at that time, only rich people could go to school, and they did not want to play beggar music. Finally, he decided to teach it to Boy Scouts. When they played angklung so beautifully, the schools then became interested. At last, angklung went to school. So the one who translated the traditional tunes into Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si, Do is Mr. Dayeng. Why did he do that? Because at that time, schools were in need of musical instruments. That's the main reason. Then, when it became interesting, angklung then was turned into music for entertainment.
Very nice. It's the second time. We went here last year, and it was last year. It was so nice. We want to see it again. So second time, it was very nice.
Perfect. I've been here for the seventh time, and I've been seven times here. When it's not nice, I don't come back.
Those were the comments of two foreign tourists after watching the show at Saung Angklung Ujo. They were amazed with the music because angklung has a special attraction, as expressed by Dayeng Oktaviani Ujo.
Angklung ini merupakan suatu senjata yang sangat luar biasa. Ya, kita harus tahu, dan saya menyadari setelah saya keluar negeri ratusan kali, itu saya menyadari bahwa kita ini punya senjata yang sangat luar biasa. Dulu kita dalam sejarah, Belanda kocar kacir.
Angklung is an incredible weapon. Yes, we should know that. I realized after I had been abroad hundreds of times. Once in history, the Dutch colonial troops were terrorized by sharp bamboo spears. Not because they were more deadly than grenades or bullets, no. But the spirit of these bamboo spears made the people came and work together, helping each other to fight the Dutch. That made the Dutch troops scared. Angklung, as you can see, has made everybody swept away. Everyone was involved and resulted in harmony. So when I visit other countries, a lot of people feel close to Indonesia. How they feel in harmony with Indonesia.
The harmony and familiar feeling with Indonesia have been well perceived by participants of the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship 2012. Haidar from Azerbaijan and George from Nauru. Thanks to the scholarship, they have been given the opportunity to learn the art and culture of Indonesia, especially angklung music at Saung Angklung Ujo, Bandung. Initially, when they first saw the angklung music performance, they were so amazed. How could some pieces of bamboo produce such beautiful music, which ultimately has made them feel familiar and love Indonesia?
Nama saya Haidar. Saya berasal dari Azerbaijan. Ya, suka. Saya semakin suka Indonesia. Ini aneh.
My name is Haidar. I come from Azerbaijan. Yes, I love it. I'm getting more and more in love with Indonesia. This is extraordinary for me since this is the first time I see a musical instrument made of bamboo. It is very unique and I really want to learn angklung. In my opinion, angklung is not difficult if you really want to learn. I think I can. Yes, I can play angklung.
My name is George Kwajine. I'm from Nauru. Well, the first time I didn't know that bamboo can make music from it. But now I can, like, you know, realize that bamboo can make of many of things, like can build house, making music and everything. But the first I was like so surprised that they make music from this bamboo, like angklung. Yeah, I also like, yeah, maybe this is the first time I can pass the music class. Yeah, very easy. Back home, I have to, like, if I want to teach angklung, maybe I need to buy this equipment to go back to Nauru and teach them how to play angklung. Because in Nauru we don't have bamboo, we don't have much bamboo.
More and more people are interested in learning angklung music, including foreigners. This is a logical consequence, especially after UNESCO designated angklung as masterpiece of oral and intangible heritage of humanity. But there is also concern about this typical music of West Java, as perceived by the angklung master Daeng Oktaviani Ujo.
Tapi yang saya lebih khawatir adalah, saya khawatir angklung ini bisa orang lain lebih bagus memainkan. Kenapa? Ketika saya mainkan lagu China, ya, itu.
But I'm more worried that other people would play angklung better. Why? When I played a song from China, Chinese people were surprised. It sounds better in angklung. When last week we were in Korea, we played Korean songs. Wow, they sound really nice with angklung. When I was in Cuba, we gave them some angklung. There is a music school in Cuba. Cuba is a closed state, but they play angklung beautifully. They have tango and salsa patterns. So my concern is, angklung can be played at anywhere, by any country. You can imagine the Nigerian can play angklung. The Arabs can as well play in the desert. The Chinese, the Japanese, it can be played anywhere. That's what I'm worried about. More people can play it better. They are more serious. Well, how about if we are not serious?
Same concern is also shared by the head of tourism and culture of West Java province, Nunung Sobari. He even worried that angklung recognition as world cultural heritage would be revoked by UNESCO.
Jadi betul sekali, di sisi lain kita bangga, gembira dengan pengakuan itu, tetapi itu kan juga ada syaratnya. Jadi angklung itu dievaluasi ya oleh UNESCO.
So it is true, on one side we are proud, happy with the recognition, but there are some conditions. So angklung is to be evaluated by UNESCO. If the result is negative, then the recognition will be revoked. The negative criteria are as follows. First, if angklung is mass-produced, manufactured. Second, if according to the assessment of UNESCO, activities related to angklung have dropped or even none at all.
Facing these concerns, the government of West Java province has made some efforts to preserve angklung, as stated by the head of tourism and culture of West Java province.
Nah, untuk